Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Don't know the rules, and you had your relief pitcher have to take that walk of shame to come back to the bump because you didn't know? It's not about wins or losses, fellas. It's chess, not checkers. And you got to know the damn rules. And I didn't think Kluk or Kipe were going to speak on it, but they came back from commercial, and Kluko, the great Kluko, said it's embarrassing. And it was. And to hear Brandon Belt say, I didn't know what was going on, this overshadowed the game, the loss. And I'm telling you, with 53 left, I believe, these are the type of things that you can't just erase with another nine innings. This is fixated in Giant fans' memory, Shasky and JD. So it was a bad look for sure.
I'm just so disappointed. I mean, I'm legitimately disappointed. I was optimistic for Kapler, just for the simple sense that, I mean, good luck trying to replace Bruce Bochy. You know, good luck trying to go out from underneath the shadow of three championships where the guy was the maestro. And we'll get into all the nuance of exactly what happened. But he's not the reason they lost the game. I just don't see how he can live this down. I legitimately don't. And there's just something, that doesn't sit with me, fellas. And I mean this. The weird vortex that the day Bruce Bochy became a Giant manager, like the actual day, was 10 years ago to this month when he caught Don Mattingly going to the mound twice. And almost in like some weird reverse fashion, we saw the same thing happen last night, even though the rules have been tweaked just a little, and we'll get to all of that. And just to have Kapler be that guy that had it happen... It just doesn't sit well with me. I'm so disappointed. Like, I'm legitimately disappointed. And it's not the reason they lost. We'll get into all of the different other reasons. But it's the totality and the sequence of events that went down. I'm legitimately crushed for the guy. I don't know how he can overcome this. I'm serious.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's set it up for you. Gabe Kapler, Andrew Bailey, the pitching coach for the Giants, went out after the Padres had scored some runs in the top of the 10th inning as Tyler Rogers went out for a second inning of work. Andrew Bailey went out to talk to Tyler Rogers and returned to the dugout, and then Gabe Kapler walked out of the Giants dugout to make a pitching change and sub Rogers from the game. He wanted to bring in Rico Garcia at that point in time, but that was a violation of Rule 5.10, which is, you know, if a coach is out on the mound, you can't basically use your coach to get a pitcher warmed up or to delay. This rule was put in place, 4 years ago to keep the game moving, essentially. You can't have your pitching coach go out and talk to a pitcher with the only reason for you to be doing it is to basically stall to buy more time. If your pitching coach goes out there, the pitcher has to stay in the game. So Gabe Kapler didn't know the rule. Had a brain cramp, whatever. He went out immediately to take Rogers out of the game. The umpires are like, no, he has to stay in the game. And it's just it's a gaffe, point blank. Well, just a gaffe, a mistake.
Well, and JD, like, and we'll get to the nuance of everything, because he botched that whole inning. Like, to me, he botched the ninth inning, and he botched that entire inning. And the Giants left so many runners on base. But this was just like... it was awful. I mean, and then we'll talk about what happened after in a second, because what happened after was just, it was just mind-blowing. It was genius by the Padres, but absolutely mind-blowing. What I don't understand is, Had this rule been instituted in 2020, okay, I'd be willing to listen to whatever the excuse is. It's been around. He's been a manager. You told me you've got a zillion bench coaches and you're the smartest team that ever lived. I just, for the life of me, cannot understand how they did not understand this rule was in place. And the way, again, I'm not blaming Krug and Kite, but the way they were trying to explain it when they came back to commercial, it's like, oh, the umpire wouldn't let him make the switch. No, that's the rule. The umpire implemented the rule appropriately, in fact. I don't think Kapler understood the rule. And then in the post game, and we'll get to all his comments, I'm not sure if he really truly understood what he was apologizing for and what he was taking onus for. It was such a confusing moment, and you notice the entire team took that exact same element and panicked the rest of the way. The game was over, though, beforehand, but JD, it's mind-boggling they had this happen. This is like high school baseball, little league baseball types of infractions. Like, I cannot for the life of me understand how a big league manager does not understand the nuances of this rule.
And you talk about a heartbreaking loss, JD and Shasky, where they battled back. I mean, you tell me at what juncture in any sport did a coach's actions supersede the result of the game. And this Friday morning, we're talking about a loss, but we're not talking about that because it was embarrassing that a manager did not know the rules. And what bothers me the most just about this is I'm feeling like a leopard does not change his spots. He had the same things happen to him in Philly, and now JD and Shasky, they could win 3 of 4, but I don't know if he'll get the opportunity to ever fix this moment. Confidence has to be lost. It has to. And all the guys in that dugout, bench coaches, dugout coaches, they didn't know you were making, they didn't have your back, and that's why this just reeks of, oh, Bochy was Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now we got a Jedi in training that didn't pass his first test in a San Francisco Giant uniform.
Look, the Giants were down by 4 runs when all this took place. Regardless of that, it's a bad look for a major league manager that had issues with pitching changes and handling his bullpen at his previous stop in Philadelphia. This is also a manager in Gabe Kapler who, yes, as both of you guys have pointed out, is following a Hall of Fame manager and a guy who won 3 World Series. The other factor in play here, as far as Gabe Kapler goes, is he is someone that acknowledged on day one that he was introduced to the media and to Giants fans. He acknowledged that he's starting out in a hole. So if you're starting out in a hole because of the way things went in Philly, because of some of the allegations of things that went on when he was with the Dodgers, if you're starting out in a hole, that means that you have to be extra perfect in trying to dig yourself out of that hole. So any little stock that maybe he built up from this team being sneaky competitive or rallying back or showing some grit in a couple of these games, a few surprise wins against the Dodgers, none of that matters when you're already starting in a hole. No. It all got wiped out last night. And oh, by the way, this team is 3-4 and not 4-3. And now there's going to be all the more scrutiny on a day in, day out basis with respect to the moves that he makes.
Well, and JD, let's go back just a little. All right, let's go back because we're going to go. They left a ton of runners on base. They gave up runs after leaving, immediately after leaving guys on base. They gave up a couple of runs in every single instance. The situational awareness of this team has been suspect from day one. Would you agree? We both agree for this year.
Yeah, I mean, yes. But I want to know where you're going. I mean, yes. I mean, I think it's been too early to tell, really. I'll just be honest with you.
Okay.
I think there's been a lot of moves that have been made. There's been, I don't think they're a very good baseball team, which I think is part of the equation here. I think you know, teams that aren't very good make sloppy mistakes and mental errors. That's part of the reason why they're not very good.
Okay, well, which is fine. I mean, look, you got to have good players to be good. But there's very basic, fundamental things that they're lacking. Not covering bases properly, not understanding the situation, where to throw the ball, missing cutoffs. I mean, these are very basic things. And you could say each individual screwing up. Eventually, that falls on the manager. In the 10th inning, okay, the runner starts on second. Rogers had already pitched the 9th inning. In my opinion, Gott should have been already up, ready to go, because Rodgers had done his three batters. You got to be ready for the situation. A lot of teams, I'm not saying that this was the exact move, but a lot of teams would have put their closer in those types of situations. Maybe it was the ninth or the tenth. They would have used their closer because they're at home. I don't agree with that logic all the time, but in this instance, Rodgers was keeping the ball up. If you watched the inning before, he had kept the ball up. It was a little alarming. They go to him in the tenth. First ball, rocketed. Runner scores from second. Right then and there, someone should have been up and ready to go. Like, mound visit almost immediately. It should have been all hands on deck. So before we even get to the actual mound visit and the fundamentals of that alone, I just didn't have – I had issue with his bullpen handling right out of the gate. What are you doing?
He shouldn't even been out there in the 10th. Like, you got you, through the okay, ninth.
Which
know
is
what
fair.
I mean?
Which is fair. Again, when a runner's on second, when there's a runner on second, Guru, in this situation, doesn't it feel like, hey, it's situation critical from the jump, correct?
No doubt. No doubt. And he had Garcia. He had Gott. But he went with what he thought. JD was a hot hand. But let's keep it real here and stay on course here. Because when this happened, this gaffe by Kapler, because that's what it was, the game was kind of, you know, it was already kind of decided. But I just, again, don't know how Gabe Kapler, who looks like now not a fundamentally sane manager because he's not on his A game. This is not Phil Jackson-like. This is not Earl Weaver-like. This is not Tony La Russa. And most importantly, it's not Bruce Bochy. JD, what can he do? Or will the situation even present itself for him to get past this? That's Look, what's so worrisome for me. I don't know what scenario he'll get to prove that, you know what, that was just a one-off.
Well, look, it doesn't come from you get the exact same scenario. It comes from you make winning decisions over the course of an entire season and the rest of this year and next year. It just you're not going to go back and necessarily get the exact same spot. Like, he just has to take the loss in this situation, mm-hmm. not only in the game, but with the decision that he made. He has to accept it, which, by the way, he did, and we are going to hear from Gabe Kapler. and we're just going to run him down here because he was asked about all of this in the post-game press conference last night, the post-game Zoom call. You know what? Let's just pause right here and let's get to the audio because Gabe Kapler, after the gaffe, he clearly knew it was going to be something that was talked about and asked about. So I want to take you inside this call. Gabe Kapler, before there were any questions asked, he was going to have an opening statement. So here's Gabe Kapler before any questions were asked, talking about what happened.
All right, I'll open it up here. I know everybody's going to be asking about going to get Rodgers when I did. And that was just a mental screw up on my part. I've been around the game for a long time, and I just had a lapse in memory. Things in the dugout. We were talking about a lot of different things, and popped out there and went and got him. And obviously, that was just a mental screw up on my part. So just wanted to own that, 100% my responsibility. And then happy to open it up and talk about the game.
Okay, JD. I mean, look, just real quick on this one, like. He basically goes on the attack before he's even, you know what I mean? He's already on the defensive, excuse me, before he even gets attacked. And what I would ask him is, like, mental gaffe. I legitimately don't think he knew what the rule was. I legitimately don't think he understood what the rule was. And he could say, I've been around baseball a long time. It's, look, relative to the game of baseball, it's only been instituted for, what, 4 or 5 years, I believe, off the top of my head. And, like, I don't understand it. This was panic mode for me. And where's the bench coach? Where's all the other 65 coaches? Why are you guys not understanding? Like, clearly you sent the pitching coach out there. This was premeditated. You sent the pitching coach out there. Hey, stall, buy some time. Let's get that arm ready in the bullpen. He comes back, and now you're just going to jump out of the dugout and go back. Like, that wasn't a mental mistake. That was pre-planned. Would we all agree there?
Yeah, it was to get a couple of extra warm-up pitches to go ahead and make the change because Tyler Rodgers at that point, after he had given up 4 runs, was done. Look, it's not uncommon for a coach or a manager to come out in a post-game press conference and offer an opening statement. Some more old-school coaches actually traditionally will do that. I know in the NBA, you know, guys that have been around, the Mike D'Antonis, you know, the Rick Adelmans in the day, guys that have been around will offer a little bit of an opening statement, just general thoughts on the game, things that stood out to them. Bruce Bochy didn't do that. Typically in his tenure, he would just, you know, hey, all right, here I am. Here's some questions. But it's not uncommon for somebody to do that. Clearly, Gabe Kapler, in his attempt to want to be accountable and liked, because I think there's an element of goo, you know, Gabe Kapler is acknowledging that he has to win the favor of the Giants fan base and maybe even some in the media. So he wanted to come out and I think also limit some of the questions by acknowledging it head first.
Yeah, and let's put the right on the table. When he had the introductory press conference and people were asking him about the L.A. incident, he was stand up. You have to give him credit. If you agreed with his answers or not, he stood up and he faced the music. Then you see him kneel. He's about, you know, BLM and racism in this country. And he won people over. And I even gave him kudos. But at the end of the day, he sounded like a little kid explaining to his parents, oh, let me give you my explanation before you guys start firing off the bullets. And I just want to say, not that I'm insulted, Gabe, but that's not how this works. And it doesn't make the mistake any less more embarrassing, the fact that you want to take the bull by the horns, Shasky, because at the end of the day, that will follow you for the rest of this baseball season. It's what people already think you are as a manager from a tactical standpoint. They feel like he shouldn't even been the pick for the manager. And you're telling me a week in, after a week in your Philly tenure, you call for a reliever who's not even warmed up. And now in your new job, you have this happen to supersede the game. This is, it's embarrassing. That's all I can say. It's
Goo.
Embarrassing.
Goo, it's not just the mound visit situation. It's the totality of the sequence of events throughout the inning. They gave up four runs. Then he wanted to take him out. Like, four runs. It wasn't one run or two runs, and then I'm going to try to yank the guy. He was late on the trigger. He didn't have a man up and ready, okay? And he was late to yank out Rodgers. That game was still in the balance when it was a one-run or a two-run game. The minute it got to three and four runs, it's too late. It's too late. You have to have a sense of urgency. And then when you double down the way he did and botch the situation and he has to stay in the game for an extra batter, and we will get to what happened immediately after, because I found what happened immediately after to be one of the most brilliant moves from the Padres that I've ever seen. But I'm saying it's the sequence of events. When you go back and watch them and you just remove emotion, you're just like, what's he thinking? How is there not an arm already ready in this situation, number one? And why is Rodgers still in the game to begin with?
Well, and why Rodgers is still in the game to begin with after they had given up four runs, that's
exactly.
Definitely something worth discussing. Mm. However, I should point out, Garcia and Gott were throwing in the bullpen. Now, they may not have been completely ready, but they were throwing in the bullpen as Rodgers was giving it up. And Gabe Kapler actually even acknowledged this. So let's go ahead and play this. He was asked if he considered, you know, taking Rodgers out sooner.
Yeah, we were comfortable with his pitch count. Rodgers is a guy who bounces back really well. So we felt like he had more bullets and we were comfortable with where he was. We had thought about Goddard in a scenario where we needed a strikeout, potentially a second and third situation with two outs and potentially needed a swing and a miss rather than a ground ball. So Raj is always our best option when we need a double play ball. Feels like a good option to get him out with nobody on. There are scenarios where we like Gott in a strikeout situation or even in a fly ball situation. Anytime we have a runner at third base with less than two outs, Gott is more of a fly ball guy. Raj is more of a ground ball guy. Then ultimately we ended up going to Rico to preserve Gott in a leverage spot for tomorrow.
So Gott was ready we needed a strikeout, but Rodgers' pitch count was fine, but we still think
paralysis
he's
by
ball.
Analysis, JD.
No, but, and wow, then once it all got away, I was going to Garcia.
But okay,
so have that right?
You have it exactly
right. Tomorrow.
Before he even said that, when he said he wasn't talking about how Rodgers was pitching contextually from within the inning, right? You know, hey, I'm watching him. It doesn't look like he has it. It looks like he's getting barreled up, like literally four times in a row. He's getting hit absolutely hard, okay? Instead of that, it's we liked where his pitch count was up. This goes back to the analytics and the spreadsheets, and this is where I'm like, look – You could tell me this is a great matchup. My eyeballs are telling me this guy needs to get out, and he needs to get out now. You got to yank him, man. All right? You got to yank him. Like, when he said that, he lost me. Everything else he said after that, he lost me. I liked where Rodgers' pitch count was at. Aren't we trying to win the game? What if the guy's not throwing strikes? And in this case, what if he's getting barreled up?
Hello?
Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
And Shasky, you told me, you asked me briefly, you know, there were other, you know, things that stood out to you outside of this blunder. And just real quick, I don't want to hate on any player, JD, but Hinneman does nothing for me at the plate and on the bases and in the field. But you come back. You have another magical comeback. Two nights in a row. This one can – imagine if they're 4-3 in the fashion that they came back. And he lets – Hinneman hit with runners in scoring position in the eighth inning. I mean, JD, I know you could say, oh, Guru, you're nitpicking, but that's negligence too. You got better options and bats on the bench. Why would you let him hit in that situation? And I know we'll get to it, but that to me was that blew me away.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Bonte, Steiny, and Guru here on a Friday. John Dickinson, Joe Shasky in for Bonte and Steiny. Daryl the Guru Johnson here as well. We're talking about the Giants and their loss in extras last night after fighting back, and Gabe Kapler, his first major gaffe, and a gaffe that's consistent with others that he has made during his managerial career in Philadelphia, as he goes out to the mound immediately following a mound visit by pitching coach Andrew Bailey to take out Tyler Rogers. He's told he cannot do so. And then if that all wasn't an embarrassing enough look, Shasky, then the Padres dropped down a squeeze when the Giants were clearly napping and shook, and they were able to get that fifth run of the inning in.
That was, honest to God, if you just step away, take off my Giants jersey, that was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. And it felt like, I mean, I don't know, it felt like that was a message toward the Giants. Like, you think you're smart? You think you're smart? Well, here, we're going to drop a squeeze. I'm asking out loud, when was the last time the Giants got squeezed on? I legitimately can't remember. Heinemann, too, on that specific play, not only were they – it's first and third. They're completely, like, discombobulated, and they're panicking. I felt like they were rattled. They dropped the squeeze. Heinemann, how do you not know the situation? You have to stay home in that situation. You have to stay at home. It's up to the pitcher. Anything bunted in front of him, he has to cover in a situation where there's a runner on third. This is basic baseball. This goes back to the situational awareness that I'm at. And this goes back to another thing. If you're having a mound visit, it gets botched, aren't you yelling from the dugout, hey guys, first and third, look out for the squeeze? Like, I just, it's so frustrating. And I thought it was a genius move by the Padres. They deserve much credit for that.
And at that point, Goo, you're not thinking about it. You know, you're just trying to get through the inning because you feel like the game is lost. Like, I don't really put a lot of it compounded a bad look. But, you know, again, at that point in the game, you're not thinking, hey, watch for the squeeze. Like, and again, it goes back to that conversation about, you know, listen to Gabe Kapler's answer when he's explaining Rodgers and Gott, and you said paralysis by analysis, Goo. Mm-hmm. You know, the Giants, the one of the many bigger questions here, are they overthinking so many different things in their dugout that they're missing the game that's going on in front of them? That's a question that we're going to have to continue to tap into.
And that's well said, JD, because a great leader, I picture the captain on a ship, and he's looking at the water and the waves and what direction. We're going this way. You know, they don't look at an iPad or a computer to take that away from their gut. And that's why I love Bochy. But it looks like, Giant fans, you need to get used to this type of managing. He, obviously, Shasky has a criteria to where it's going to be computer-generated and related on what makes him move instead of what he's seeing and trusting his instincts. And that, just to me, it's not natural. And last night, it bit him in the ass.
All right, yeah, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by AAA Northern California, Nevada, Utah. More on Gabe Kapler's blunder. And again, why leaning on analytics might have played a role in that mishap. We're also going to take your phone calls at 888-957-9570. That's all sponsored by AAA Northern California, Nevada, Utah.
Now back to Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, back with you here, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson, Joe Shasky, in for Vontae and Steiny. Daryl the Guru Johnson is here. Happy Friday. We're talking about Gabe Kapler, his first major gaffe as the skipper of the San Francisco Giants. 888-957-9570. We will hear more from Gabe Kapler following the ball game. We'll just kind of run through each and every aspect of this and continue to react to it. Butch, I know you're on the record already as saying you don't know that he can, if he can overcome it. That might be a little bit strong in the first week as manager, but let's be honest. There are a lot of folks out there that were really concerned about Gabe Kapler to begin with. I put myself at the top of
just trying to figure out what's going on.
Herbert there, drafted clearly to be the heir apparent at some
ops, and it was because of attention to detail and the inability to adequately explain either mistakes or decisions. Well, here's case number one, a week in.
Yeah, JD, I wanted to be optimistic. Like, I didn't want to just crush the guy before he got here. I wanted him to earn it or lose it, you know, like credits and demerits, right? Like, it goes back to credits and demerits in life. You accomplish things off what you do, and I wanted to give him opportunities to you know, tell me if this guy can sink or swim. Like, I don't know. I feel today, honestly, though, guys, I legitimately feel just super sad because I'm telling you, that sequence of events last night was brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Let's go to Neck in San Francisco. Neck, you're up first here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, yes. Hey, good morning. Good morning. How many callers?
What's up, Neck?
Butch's real shop. Hey, Butch, I've been in your shop a couple times back in the day.
What's up, buddy?
You had like seasonal, you know, you had the seasonal stuff. Like during the holidays, you had the like a rose package and all these things. What if I came in? Which I did come in for a special one holiday. What if you forgot to put the roast in there and you gave me a pork shoulder? I'd still come in. All professionals make mistakes. This guy is under pressure. And no one's talked about coaching or management for the last 3 months. He got hired. He's been a great, I don't know how he can put up with the last 3 or 4 months having to come on the radio all the time. Starting like he's still interviewing do I like his style? Not from what I've heard. That's got nothing to do with it. Professionals, you know? Professionals. You guys, just last week, baseball finally started. And everybody on the radio, you know, left us for dead. We got with the young talent, too young, and the old talent, who other just mediocre. But suppose he pulls out. I think he would have pulled out if he didn't have a couple of youngsters on top of youngsters. The smart guys in the NFL are pulling out.
Yeah, Neck, I hear you. You're cutting out, and I apologize, buddy. But look, accidents do happen. No one's saying that he can't rip off 10 in a row and then win us all back over. I'm just saying, as far as a look goes last night, just the way the whole thing went down, it's not just the mound visit, too. It's the sequence of events that led to that. He didn't have the sense of urgency. He didn't have a quick enough hook. Again, it's not the end of the world. I'm just saying, this guy is trying to escape the shadow of Bruce Bochy, and last night is one of those things that I think people are going to point to time and time again, unless they rip off 10 in a row, 11 in a row, or something like that.
What great manager has that on their resume?
Bochy
doesn't. Tony La Russa doesn't have it. Jim Leland, John Dickinson. And then real quick, if you think I'm being too hard on Gabe Kapler, he was 161 and 163 in Philadelphia with the team that was primed to win. This is not just a one-off. This is his past. And what this tells me is he has not learned. And then you pinch hit Crawford for Slater, and you don't leave Slater in the game for later. I mean, JD, it's little things on top of little things that get big at the end of the day, man.
Well, and again, you could ask the question, shouldn't he be better at the little things because he has such an extensive coaching staff in terms of number of bodies? You know, here's the other thing. They've been going through these MLB The Show simulations, right? I've read at least 5 stories about how they're playing video games to mimic what's going on in terms of in-game management, which I found to be laughable. I guess in the video game, you can send your pitching coach out,
JD.
And then leave him in, and then not have to take or leave him in the game after you send him back to the dugout. I mean, I feel like some of the focus is on the wrong things.
Man.
Again, it's over preparation in certain areas, but then the big takeaway for me is you're so concentrated on this guy's spin rate, this guy's pitch count, this guy's arm angle against that batter. Who's going to start the next day, Joe? You're so concerned about all of these things that you're missing the game that's going on in front of you, to a point where, you know what? Let's just maybe he did have a brain cramp and he didn't, but you know what? If you have a brain cramp and you don't realize the rule in that moment, it's because you're not focused on the right thing. It's because you're thinking about something that's inconsequential compared to the moment. And that in and of itself is a problem.
But I think the bigger thing for me is the human element. And we've been talking about this with the Excel spreadsheet guys forever, right? Like, they lack the human element. They lack the eye, the context. No, but it's the truth. I mean, like, look at the truth. And again, look, I wanted to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I wanted him to sink or swim based off what he did in a Giants uniform. It's a long season, all right? He's going to have opportunities to win this fan base over, to win that clubhouse over. I'm just saying, like, I mean, look at what happened last night. It felt like a complete panic job, and it was before the second mound visit. Why is Rodgers staying out there for that long? Like, it in a game like that where there's a runner on second, you have to have heightened awareness immediately once extra innings start, because you have got to minimize damage. And when he got lit up hit after hit after hit, he should have already been out of the game,
man.
We heard Goo from Gabe Kapler about not taking Rodgers out at the beginning of the inning and sort of how things stacked up before the Giants gave up the four runs. Let's hear from Gabe Kapler as to just why he stuck with Rodgers.
We felt like Rodgers was so even leading into the game, and even now after watching the game unfold, we still feel like Rodgers is our best option in a leverage situation. Part of the reason he's a good option for the ninth is he can also handle the 10th, and we can get a little bit of length out of him. So not only do we have a high leverage pitcher in Rodge, we also have a guy who can give us, multiple innings potentially into that 10th inning scenario.
So like him in the ninth, think he can pitch the 10th, Goo. I mean, it's a lot of over-analysis about what you're going to do, but are you paying attention to what's going on in front of you?
Exactly. And they call that what I've got during quarantine, might have already had a gut instinct, and he's not using that. And I'll tell you this, at the end of the day, when he makes a change or walks to the mound, fellas, he'll have the ghost of this decision behind him. He's already thrown that down the drain, the benefit of the doubt, when it comes to any managerial decision. And you know what? Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't like hearing we. Talk about you. You're the only manager of this this team, so I don't want to hear about we. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we thought. It's you. And I'll say this, at the end of the day, I know the President of the United States, they give you a State of the Union address to let you know what's going on. At what juncture in a 60-game season are we going to hear for Farhan? Because I want to know what he thought of this gaffe. You could say, oh, it's no big deal, but this is embarrassing. And I would love to know the guy that hired this man for the job 6-7 games in, that embarrassed himself last night on TV, what he thought of that.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens from here. I mean, if they go to a tailspin and they lose 4 or 5 in a row, I mean, it's going to be situation critical. It's going to be crazy. If they can stay afloat, maybe we'll forget about this. Maybe. I don't know if I will. I mean, it is one of those things. It's going to stick out to me. And more than anything, guys, and I didn't want to do this with Kapler. And JD, we keep referencing Bochy. I didn't want to do that with him. It's so unfair. It is. It's so unfair. But, okay, but here's the big but. When Bochy was managing, he had Ron Wotus beside him and all the different bench coaches. They were hyper laser focused on the actual situations of the game. They weren't knee deep in the Excel spreadsheet. They weren't looking at the iPad. They were thinking 3 and 4 and 5 moves ahead. I saw a guy yesterday standing at the top of the dugout steps just like steaming. I mean, he was just breathing super heavy and losing. And I'm thinking to myself, is he talking with the other bench coaches? Are they going through situations? What's he thinking? I just would love to know what his mind is thinking at that point. And to your point, like, is he thinking spin rate, or is he thinking – Okay, Rodgers just doesn't have it. We need to go to someone else here. We need to preserve the lead, preserve the game and keep it a two-run game so that we at least have a chance. By the time it got to four runs, the game was over. This is before the bunt, before the squeeze, all that. That game was over. Four runs felt insurmountable given how hard they fought to get back in that game.
888-957-9570. Should we give Gabe Kapler the benefit of the doubt? Or is last night's mistake a sign of things to come? We want to hear from you. It's Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. JD for Bonte, Shasky for Steiny. Or maybe I'm in for Steiny and you're in for Bonte. I don't know. Either way you slice it, Joe. We're in here on a Friday on 95.7 The Game. Daryl the Guru Johnson here as well. It looks to me, Goo, like it's information overload. Like what you're saying,
great way to put
Joe,
it.
About him standing there and he's kind of fuming and he's noodling it all through and processing it. To me, it's a guy that, look, you were hired because you're supposed to be the smart guy and the great communicator and somebody that can, you know, take everything the front office is doing and apply it to the field and apply it to the players and apply it to the media, Goo. Like, you got the job because you're smart enough to handle it, because you are basically the point man. You are the middleman between the team and the front office and what the iPad says, and you have to convey it to the fans through the media. You are the guy that was deemed by Farhan Zaidi as smart enough to handle it all. When you look like Chasky's talking about there, Goo, it's an even worse look because, again, let's put the rat on the table. This is why Kapler was hired, because Farhan is saying, I think you can handle it.
Yeah, and a lot of people were up in arms. I was one of them. And I'll tell you this, man. Life can be unfair, and sometimes reputations can. And Gabe Kapler came to town with a bad reputation in regards to in-game managing the bullpen. He was not Bruce Bochy or nowhere even on that track. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt because people change, things change. And you're telling me not even 10 games in, Chasky, we already have this. We're dealing with this already because this guy has not learned. That's what it tells me. And I'll end it with this. I always think in my world, a good manager, a good skipper, he'll win you a couple of games. Gabe Kapler has already thrown that out the window for me. This Giant team in 2020 is going to win in spite of him. And that means I don't have confidence in him, his in-game management, fellas, to where he's going to pull a fast one over on the team or do something from a tactical standpoint to where you win because he puts you in a great place. And that stinks.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm at as far as, like, I don't know where I'm at with him right now. Again, I told you I'm super disappointed.
I can tell you how you sound. It don't sound like you're pro Kapler.
I'm not ready to just say it's over for him forever, no matter what. I do think it's going to be really hard for him to live this down. I do. But there's so many little elements to what makes a good coach, right? Having the conversation with your catcher, there's little things, right? Cueto got an 0-2 count the other night, okay? Gives up a home run on 0-2. That should never happen. Now, you can say it's like, I'm the catcher. No, okay. Then again last night, they got a speedy runner at first base, and they're throwing breaking balls in the dirt. What are we doing here, guys? What are we doing? We're giving second base to someone else. These are the little things that I'm seeing over and over, and they're starting to mount up, and there's only so many of them that you can overcome. Again, the mound visit's one thing. The squeeze afterwards was another thing. But the sequence of events leading up to it, allowing Rodgers to continue to pitch. And then how about this one, guys, in the ninth inning? How's Dubon, who has got, I think, got two hits all year, Dubon not bunting over a runner who gets on? We get a leadoff runner, a runner at first. How are you not bunting Dubon to have that guy get over to second base and give yourself some opportunities? It's just little things driving me insane.
Well, and again, he's going to have to be accountable for that, but that's one that I'm almost certain is that's the numbers. The numbers say don't bunt. The Giants are, again, an analytically driven team now. Those teams do not bunt. I watched the Dodgers and the Astros play whatever it was Monday night in Houston. They're playing extra innings. The runner's 13 on second base in the 10th. The runner's on second base in the 11th. The runner's on second base in the 12th and the 13th. And not one time in any of those four innings did either one of those teams bunt, with the run, and the Astros had two times where they had stopped the Dodgers and held them without scoring, and all they needed to do was get that runner home from second, and they would win the game. So, look, those two teams are not thinking about butting a guy to third and taking an out. Those teams are thinking about driving the ball over the wall, which is eventually what the Dodgers did to win the game. If you, analytics teams, Joe, they don't bunt. So you're just like I almost, it's hard to even put that on Kapler in a way because he's just following what comes down from the palace on high.
No, look, and look, players need to absorb some of this as well. Like, Rogers left balls up. There was opportunities with runners in scoring position in three different innings, and they had less than two outs, and they did not cash those in. So there's no excuses. Like, Kapler can't go up there and bat. Again, it's not all on him. There's a pie chart of culpability here, and it's just really, really frustrating. And the part that's hard to swallow for me is that I was so proud of how they battled back to get into that game. I was so proud.
You got to give them some credit.
Oh, my goodness. And we're overshadowing an unbelievable comeback, and Yastrzemski is red freaking hot. Name me a hotter player in baseball right now. Like, that's the part that really hurts me today, is that we're sitting here talking about this because we should be, but yet it's overshadowing so many positive contributions, and it could have been a win last night.
Yeah, JD, and you saw social media, and that was the gauge. And I'll grade, Kapler on a curve, which I did because I didn't like the hire. But at the end of the day, when I went to bed last night, it wasn't the L. It was the fact that, hey, a major league manager didn't know the rules. The cat's out the bag. Everybody knows it. This is what happened in Philly. And now you just kind of deal with it. But I don't know when J.D. and Shasky, he'll be able to fix this, even if they rattle off 5 or 10 in a row. It's just something that's part of his DNA. And I don't know how that's going to bode well for the Giants moving forward.
Well, here's the thing for me. You know, and you guys have both alluded to this, and I'll just ask the question. How does he live it down? How does he move on? The only way he lives it down is for the team to win. And this goes back to why I believed going into it that there's maximum disaster potential for Gabe Kapler. That's how I've phased it. Maximum disaster potential.
You
because
said one and done.
He isn't going to win enough to overshadow the mistakes. Like, the only way you can make up for it is to win. So, but if you don't have the talent to win, and you're not a good manager when you get put in these situations, and weird things continue to happen to you, the only possible outcome is that it continues to snowball to a point where eventually it becomes a disaster. And yes, I thought one and done, Goo, was 100% on the table over a 162-game season. Now, I had to amend that because of the 60-game year due to the pandemic. I mean, this year, aside from some kind of non-baseball-related scandal, Shasky, he's going to get 2021. I mean, that's just bottom line going to happen. But I just don't think this team's going to be able to win enough to where he's going to have enough stock going back the other way to where it isn't just going to continue to crumble on him as time goes on.
Yeah, I man, it's well worded. I really don't know where he goes from here. I don't know how much leeway that the organization's going to have. Like, how's Larry Bear feeling today? Is he frustrated and embarrassed about what happened? I just think it's so hard. Again, I legitimately feel empathy for Kapler in the sense that it was almost impossible to replace Bruce Bochy. Whoever it was, whether it was Gabe Kapler, Omar Vizquel, you know, whoever you wanted to put as the next manager, it was damn near impossible for this fan base to wrap both arms around you at the beginning of your tenure and for you to succeed. It was going to be an uphill battle the whole way. That's why I wanted to give the guy more leeway. I wanted to, you know, just give him a little more leash, if that makes sense.
You know what's funny, real quick, fellas? I'm sorry, JD. You know what's funny to me is when baseball implemented this pitcher has to face three batters, the universal DH, you know what I said? I said, you know what? Some managers that are lacking that double switch to where they can execute a double switch the right time, you know, the right formula like Bochy. I thought managers wouldn't have to face that wrath, because that would be taken away from them, because you wouldn't have to do it. We wouldn't see it as much. And that's why I'm just flabbergasted that from a standpoint for Kapler, that he already blew that goodwill that he had, that he almost could have avoided 53 more games. Like, that wasn't supposed to happen this early on, is all I'm saying, fellas. That's why I don't have confidence in him.
Why?
888-957.
I was going to say, I think a lot of Giants fans, they've already run the gamut of emotions on Kapler in 6 days or 7 days, however many games they've played. You went from the lowest of lows, back soaring up to the highest of highs, feeling a little low again, feeling awesome after 2 nights ago, and then way back down to the cellar again today. Like, it has been an unbelievable roller coaster. I mean, just think about where they've been. They get their butt kicked by the Dodgers. Yeah. They scrap and claw and fight back. They lose a game to the Padres where they look lifeless. They scrap back in the following game. They scrap back last night. And then just the bottom falls out from it. I mean, the wheels legitimately fell off last night. Had he not made the mound visit the second time, and he just replaced Rodgers, we still would be talking today about why did he allow Rodgers to stay out there that long. JD, would you agree?
Yeah, no, we would. And look, it's more about the gaffe, and because he's had similar gaffes in the past, and the way he's handled a bullpen in the past, Goo, has been an issue, this just now becomes an extension of that issue.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you this. We thought coming into the 2020 season, runs would be at a premium for the Giants. I don't know how real and staying power that they have, but now you got Yash, you got Slater, Dubon. We hadn't even mentioned him. They're scoring runs, and you can't not know and be in tune with your bullpen to make gas like that, because Rodgers, you got through with the ninth. He should have thought, you know what, Shasky, I got past that. I'm going to give the ball to Garcia or Gott. But he went with what I thought the iPad told him, and it blew up in his face.
Well, even if he wants to stick with Rodgers for a batter or two, the minute he's getting shelled and barreled up and he gives up two quick ones, gone. Like, you're gone. You're like, where's the quick hook? I mean, I needed the Felipe Alou. You know, that's what I needed.
Oh, Felipe.
Well, and again, that's where he's playing the I'm trying to get a double play card. He's playing that Rodgers is going to get a ground ball card. He's playing that over, I'm going to bring – you know, my closer right now, because Trevor got the closer in to try and strike a couple of people out and keep this thing held right here. I mean, that's a fantastic point. And you know, how many times did we see Bruce Bochy do that? How many times did we see Bruce Bochy show urgency in the make a preemptive strike? I don't care what happens an inning from now, because we're going to lose the game right now if I don't come out and make a move.
That's exactly it, JD. No, but that is exactly it. Like, the way I'm looking and approaching these extra inning games is, hey, I have to do everything I can to minimize danger and then give myself an opportunity to at least have a shot, a swinger's puncher's chance in the bottom half of the inning. Once it got to four runs, that chance was done. There was no way the Giants were going to score four runs.
That rule with the runner on second, JD, I ain't talked to you in a while. It's BS, man. It's just total BS, and it's not baseball.
We'll talk about
that coming up. Yeah. We'll also hear more from Gabe Kapler coming up as well. And your phone calls, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson, Joe Shasky, Daryl the Guru Johnson in on Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking. No compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.